Today on the Pastor's Study, our Bible lesson is entitled, David, a Man After God's Own Heart. And our beginning text will come from Acts chapter 13. But before we begin, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for being the great God that thou art. We thank you for this opportunity to open up thy very words. And Father, we just pray that you'd bless the study of your word today, that you would have your will and your way in our hearts and our minds today. And we pray, if anything's accomplished today, that would give you all the honor and glory. And now, we commit this time into thy hand, and we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. David, a man after God's own heart. Let's turn to Acts chapter 13, verse 22. In Acts chapter 13, verse 22, the words of Almighty God say this, "And when he had removed him," and of course the "him" is referring to Saul, "he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony, and said, I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will." Again, let's read. "I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will." In Paul's sermon in Antioch, in which he briefly recounts the history of Israel, he refers to the statement here that we just read, made by God concerning David. Just think about it. What a statement to be made about an individual by God, a man after mine own heart. If you think about this, this statement is one that should characterize every person who wears the name of Christ, who proclaims to be a Christian. For David was not only the ancestor of Christ according to the flesh, but he possessed many of the attitudes that were later perfected by Christ and should characterize all those who are disciples of Christ. In this lesson, we shall, first of all, consider some of these attitudes that David had. Second, see the similarities between his attitudes and those of Christ. And then finally, and encourage all who are Christians to have the same, so that we might too be people after God's own heart. Amen. Notice first of all, David loved the Word of God. David love the Word of God. Let's turn together to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. In Psalm 119, practically every verse has to do with something referring to the Word of God. Amen. But notice in Psalm 119, verse 97, what David said here, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Psalm 119, verse 97. How love I thy law! Exclamation point. Oh, how love I thy law! It is my meditation all the day. So we see that David loves the Word. And this love for God's Word is due to the fact that, first of all, God's word protects him from sin. Amen? And in verse 11 here in Psalm 119, notice what the word of God says. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. So we see that David loved God's word because it protected him from sin. Also, David loved God's word because it revived him in affliction. It revived him in affliction. Look in verse number 50 of Psalm 119. This is my comfort. This is referring to the words of Almighty God. This is my comfort in my affliction. In my affliction. And that doesn't stop there. For thy word hath quickened me, revived him, made him alive. Amen. Thy word hath quickened me. Again, we see that David loved God's word. Amen. He loved it. We saw, first of all, because it protected him from sin. Second, it revived him in affliction. And then, also, he loved God's word because it gave him great peace of mind. It gave him great peace of mind. Looking in Psalm 119, verse 165, the words of Almighty God say this, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Maybe the reason, my friend, that you don't have peace in your life and you're easily offended is because you don't love God's word the way you should. Amen. Now let's turn our attention and see Jesus, how Jesus loved the word of God, as evident from his frequent quotation of it. All through the Gospels, you'll see that God, the Lord Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, will quote various verses from the Old Testament. We see that especially at his time of temptation by the devil. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4 for a moment. In Matthew chapter 4, we see in verse number 3, we read in God's word, and when the tempter, that's the devil, came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. He says, if. You know, if you're really the real deal, then prove it by turning these. I know that you're hungry, Jesus. And if you are, here's the condition. If you're truly the Son of God, then turn the stones to bread. But he answered and said, this is how Jesus dealt with him. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He quoted him scripture. Jesus loved the scripture. He quoted it frequently. Not just to quote it, but it became, he quoted it at a specific time and place and situation. And here he quoted it and used it against the devil. The devil tempted him again. Amen. And in verse 7, Jesus says to the devil, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And then finally, in verse 10, after the devil has tempted him a third time, he says to the devil, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, in him only shalt thou serve. Notice he says it is written. You know, thank God that it was written. Thank God that it was written down in a book. And thank God that you and I today have that very book that contains the very words of Almighty God. So we saw that David, again, we're looking at that God said about David that he was a man after mine own heart. And one of the reasons I believe that is because David loved the Word of God, just as Jesus loved the Word of God. And I ask you today, how is your love for the Word of God? Do you hide it in your heart? Amen? To help you not to sin against God when you're tempted? Do you find it to be a source of comfort in the times of affliction? Amen. When you're going through a rough patch in life, that's not many you can turn to, but you can turn to Almighty God in His very words to comfort you through that time of affliction. Can I hear an amen? You listening today can testify of that. I can testify of that. That I've gotten through this life so far only because of the Lord Jesus Christ and only because of His words that guide and direct me and bring me comfort. Amen. Does the Word of God give you peace of mind? As I said earlier, you probably, if you don't have peace of mind and you're easily offended, it's probably because you don't love the Word of God the way you should, or you don't love it at all. Amen. I mean, how do you approach the Word of God when it's your time to read and have your time of quiet time with the Lord? Are you excited about it? Or is it just drudgery? It's a routine. I've got to go through this. Amen. If that's your attitude, my friend, then all you have is religion, amen, and you don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when you open up that Word of God and you meet with God, that's how one of the ways God talks to you and I is through His very words, amen. When you open up the Word of God, you're having a family reunion. You're meeting with the Lord. You're meeting with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, a lot of us get excited when we go to some kind of a buffet. Amen. To feed our faces. Well, our attitude, we should be excited when we go to the Word of God. The table's been spread there with the buffet of God's words. Amen? And we should be feasting God's words just like we're feasting on the chicken wings at the Chinese buffet, amen? Or the egg rolls or whatever it is. If your answer to these questions, if any of them are negative, amen, then you need to heed and give heed to the instructions of David as found, preserved here in Psalm number 1, the first Psalm, right off the bat. Psalm number 1. Notice, Psalm number 1, verses 1 to 3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a river planted by rivers of water, and bringeth forth his fruit in the season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Amen. See, the problem with you and I is we need to learn to delight in His words, and we need to learn to meditate upon it daily. And the end result, the promises, then we will be truly blessed. Also, happy. Amen. Maybe you're unhappy today because you do not delight in His Word, and you don't meditate it daily like on it like you should. Amen. Let's move on to another thing about David, as we look at why he was a man after God's own heart. We see that David loved to pray. David loved to pray. Many of us look at prayer as a chore and not a delight. Amen. This is one of the things that we should delight to do as Christians, is to pray, to get down on our knees and come to the throne room of grace. What an honor and a privilege. We have access to God the Father through God the Son. There's one mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus, amen. We have a great high priest seated at His right hand, interceding for us. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 116. Psalm 116, if you would. Let's look at verses 1 and 2. I love the Lord, because He hath heard my voice and my supplication, because He hath inclined His ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. See, David's love for prayer was based upon the fact that God had answered him before, time and time again. See, we need, as Christians, to keep a journal of answered prayer. That's right. So we can go to that journal, and when we're in a situation and think God can't work, we have reminders here how He's worked time and time again in the past. Amen. See? He's not just a one-time God. See? He's not just a one-time God. He's there all the time. No matter what the situation you find yourself in, He will see you through it. He will listen to you. He will answer your prayers. Maybe not the way you want them, but He'll answer them in the way that you need them. Amen. Also, he loved prayer. Because David loved prayer, because it was based upon the fact that God had greatly blessed him. Psalm 116, let's drop down to verses 12 and 13. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. See? See, some of us, when we approach prayer, again, it's like a religious routine. Just like we saw with the Word of God, is one of the ways the Word of God, that God speaks to us, so through prayer. How many of us can testify as we were on our knees in prayer that God spoke to us? Amen. He spoke to us. See, you and I, we serve a living, risen Savior who is always there for us. He wants to bless us. Notice, again, the psalmist said in verse 12, Psalm 116, what shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits? Word of God says He daily loadeth us with benefits, amen. And then David loved prayer, not only based on the fact that God had answered him before, and the fact that God had greatly blessed him, but also was based upon the fact that prayer brought God close to him. Turn with me to Psalm 145. Psalm 145, notice in verse 18, the words of God say this, The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him. To all that call upon him in truth. See? David knew that prayer brought him closer to God. Maybe you're not as close to God as you should because you're not praying like you should. Or praying in truth. With a clean heart. With a heart asked to God for forgiveness for your sins. Amen. We see that as we turn our attention now and we see that Jesus was also a man of prayer. We're told he made it a point to often slip away to pray privately. Amen. Look in Luke chapter 5 with me. The Gospel of Luke chapter 5. And notice what we read here in verse 16 of Luke 5. We read, "And he," referring to Jesus, "he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed." You see him time and time again slipping away privately in prayer. We also see in times of great trial, Jesus resorted to prayer. We see, for example, the night before he was crucified in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he was betrayed, in Matthew 26, verse 36 and following. "And then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane. And he saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther, and he fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? How many of us Christians were sleepy Christians? Amen. We don't take time to pray. Amen. We stay up watching the boob tube, fall asleep, go to bed without prayer. Verse 41, "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." My friends, the Holy Spirit that indwells each one of us wants us to pray. But the flesh doesn't like prayer. Amen. Have you felt that struggle? "He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass from me, except I drink it, thy will be done." We also see that he prayed in Luke 23, verse 34, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." As he hung on that cross, and they railed against him and spit upon him. Amen. We see in times of great trial, Jesus resorted to prayer. He said on the cross, not only, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," but he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" In Matthew 27, verse 46, as at that very moment, the sky grew dark. And what happened? The Father turned his back on his Son. Why? Because at that very moment, He who knew no sin was made sin for us. Christ became sin on that cross. And God's wrath was poured upon his Son because of our sins. On the cross, in Luke 23:46, he prayed, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." My friends listening today, we saw that David was a man of great prayer. Jesus was a great prayer warrior as well. But how is your love for prayer? Jesus and David loved to pray. Do you love to pray? Have you found it to be the source of peace, which passeth all understanding? Amen. In Philippians chapter 4, notice with me in verse 6 and 7. We read, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." And what's the results? "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Stop worrying about that thing. Let nothing keep you up at night. Take it to God in prayer, giving him thanks, and he promises he'll give you the peace that you're missing. That path is all understanding. Amen and amen. We're told in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, to pray without ceasing. My friend, do you pray without ceasing? Does your heart have an attitude of prayer all the day long? Oh, it doesn't have to be a prayer of many words. Maybe just a short prayer of a couple of words or a sentence. If you do not have the love of prayer like you should, then let David instruct you to depend upon prayer for your preservation. Turn with me to Psalm 32. In Psalm number 32, look with me in verse number 7. Psalm 32, verse number 7, David wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance, Selah." You see that? The Lord is your hiding place, my dear friend. He shall preserve thee. He shall protect you, compass you all about with songs of deliverance. Maybe you need to be delivered from some sin. Amen? You need to pray. You need to love to pray. You need to not look at it as some religious routine, my friend. If you truly have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, then you would love to pray. Because that's when you talk to God and he responds to you. Oh, my dear friends, if you don't love the Word of God the way you should, and you don't love to pray like you should, let me tell you, you're missing out on something very special. You need to work on your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the most important thing that you and I have in this life. We've just about run out of time. We'll continue and finish our lesson on David, a man after God's own heart, next time that we meet together on a pastor study. Until then, Brother Gino Cassieri thanking each and one of you for joining me for the Pastor's Study, and may God richly bless you is my prayer.